It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. What a great day. It's just been fun. Well, some of it's been fun. I mean, we do have... Speaking of doctors, let's check in with Dr. Jill.
It reduces the risk of catching or spreading the disease. And it helps protect you from ending up in the hospital or worse.
It reduces the risk of catching or spreading the disease? Let's check in with the CDC director.
Our vaccines are working exceptionally well. They continue to work well for Delta with regard to severe illness and death. They prevent it. But what they can't do anymore is prevent transmission. So if you're going home to some...
It's like, can you liars get your story straight? All right, you know what? We're moving on. We got all kinds of Ask Dr. Jesse stuff today. Hey, omniscient. That's that word again, Chris. That means all-knowing, Chris. I don't know if you know this. Hey, omniscient builder of sheds. I understand and appreciate why we lower the flags to honor the fallen. The problem I have is too many business organizations leave them lowered. I recently noticed a flag at a business had been down for several weeks. I stopped in and asked why. No one could give me the answer, and the flag was raised the next day. As a proud American, I hate seeing flags left at half-staff. It reminds me of the low-T GOP. I believe this is another ploy by the commies. Get some chalk and let's keep our flags proudly raised as possible. His name is Brad. Yes, keep that flag high. Keep that flag high. I mean, you can obviously lower them for the fallen. Jesse, do you think James Baker was operating as an FBI agent when he was destroying evidence at Twitter? See, here's the thing that people forget about the FBI and how they do business. Well, law enforcement in general, but we're going to focus on the CHECA for the time being. An agent. Is this guy an agent? Is he an agent? Well, there are agents, and then there are assets they use. Informants. Remember, the FBI is no longer really a law enforcement organization. It's a domestic intelligence organization. It's a secret police organization. Their job now, they see themselves, is to gather intelligence, to spy on as many Americans as possible in order to crush the enemies of the Democratic Party, just like the CHECA did. That's what they are. So here's how this works. Like Michigan's a great example. Remember the fake kidnapping and assassination plot of Governor Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan, where they found some guy in the basement of a vacuum repair shop that didn't even have running water, and they recruited him to go assassinate the governor, and they paid for all the training, and they paid for the explosives, and they planned the whole thing and organized the whole thing. Well, some of the guys involved in that were FBI agents, so they're getting a paycheck that says FBI at the top, right? But some were simply paid informants and not agents. Now, they're still doing it on behalf of the FBI, at the direction of the FBI. They're still doing it, but they're not necessarily agents. There's no question at this point in time, the FBI has people all over social media. Whether they're still getting a paycheck that says FBI on it or not, they very clearly have their assets everywhere. James Baker walked out of working at the FBI right into working at Twitter headquarters and miraculously found himself running protection for the FBI in Twitter. What do you think's really going on there? We all know what's going on here. We're not naive. We're not stupid. But again, this goes back to something we were talking about earlier in the show. How much does this frustrate you? It frustrates me from time to time that you know all these things and that most people don't. It drives me crazy. All right, let's get to some other stuff. Jesse, curious if you've seen Man in the High Castle. The story is set in the 60s of an alternate reality where we lost World War II. The Nazis control the eastern U.S. from New York, and the Japanese control the western U.S. from San Francisco, with an ungoverned neutral zone covering the Rockies. It's very chilling imagining what life under those regimes would have been like. A main difference between the two areas was the Nazi-controlled parts were ruled by Americans who assimilated into the regime after the takeover, while the Japanese maintained pure racial control of the West. Additionally, the Nazis were written to be completely outpacing the Japanese technologically, and the Japanese Empire was on the verge of collapse. I actually have seen, I think, one or two seasons of this a long time ago. A guy says it came out on Amazon Prime. I saw it. I thought it was pretty fascinating. Chris, I thought it was good. I think it's something that you would find interesting for sure. For sure. It's a clever alternate reality. What would it have looked like if we had lost World War II and then they came here and took over? Let's do keep in mind, even if we lost World War II, they wouldn't have taken over America because you can't. America at that time, maybe a little different today, but at that time, there are simply too many gun owners here and too many people who love the country. Just because you lost a war, losing a war and being invaded and taken over are two very different things. Even if we had lost either one of those, you can't invade America, at least not back then. You simply can't. It's not possible. Goodness sakes, you'd never get through Arkansas. If you started working your way through, the second you got to the hinterlands of Tennessee, your whole army's going to die. You're all going to die. But I don't know that I agree with the outpacing the Japanese technologically portion of it. Now, there's no question. The Germany's such a fascinating place when you look at the history of Germany. Chris was actually just talking to me during the break about, okay, so he says, well, let me get this right. The Germans were the reason Vladimir Lenin got back to the Soviet Union to start the Communist Revolution. And the Germans were the ones who trained the Japanese militarily in a lot of their military buildup leading up to World War II. So basically everything horrible that happened in the 20th century was Germany's fault. That may be a little oversimplistic, but not that much. They're fascinating people, and I adore German people. I adore the language. I think there is some German in my background as well. As you know, my grandpa on my mom's side was Amish, so there's almost always some German connection in there. So I love the history, and I even love the language. You know, the language, it sounds like you're always being yelled at. I love the language. I love the history. I've never been to Germany, even though I've been to Europe once, Chris. I've never been to Germany, but I want to go. I'm going to go to a German Christmas market, and I want to watch the wife eat bratwurst while we go look at stuff. And it's just what, Chris? Anyway, I want to go. I want to go. But there's a couple things about the Germans. There's no question they prioritize and they're very good at things like math and engineering. You know, the important things. While your son's learning about chopping his penis off, they're learning math in Germany. And I thought, what is that? Mercedes? One of those German car companies always says German engineering. Like, they brag about that because they're just known for that. And they've been such an advanced society. Remember, we went to the moon. That was pretty cool, right? We went to the moon. If you believe we did. Anyway, we went to the moon, which is cool, right? Oh, that's really cool, man. How do we get the rocket technology to get to the moon? Well, there's this little thing called Operation Paperclip, where we, after the war, decided those German scientists were pretty switched on and we'll kind of ignore some of the whole Holocaust thing and just kind of do some erasing of the resume and bring them on into the fold. How do you think we got to the moon? Operation Paperclip and all that stuff. So the Germans have always been super advanced technologically. But FDR talked about this. FDR wrote about this. It's almost like they are a naturally militaristic people. They just are. It is amazing how two world wars, and you can't really blame them totally for World War I, but you certainly can't absolve them of any blame for World War I. And then you lasted about 20 years and you're rolling another one back around. What are you doing? Calm down, Germany. Calm down. I need you to calm down for me, Germany. But the Japanese really screwed themselves up getting too militaristic when they were going through that Meiji restoration and modernizing their country, which we've talked about before. We talked about it extensively earlier this week. They really screwed up going too heavy militarily. I get why you want to do that. We're a warrior culture, right? And everyone wants new tanks and planes and ships and look how tough we are. And I get it. Like, I get the appeal. Trust me, I get the appeal of that. They were already cooking along so well economically. If they'd kind of left some of that military stuff alone and focused more on economics, we would have avoided a whole lot of pain and death in World War II. That is for sure. That's for sure. All right, all right. But anyway, I think the Japanese technologically are doing just fine. To this day, they're a super advanced technological nation. All right. Brittany Griner, was it worse than Obama's trade? Plus, we have some people, a couple gay people are upset, but not with me. We have rice lovers. What's wrong with you? All that and more still to come on the Jesse Kelly Show. But before we do any of that, look, it's just you and me talking, right? So I'm going to shoot you straight because I've been training with my Mantis X. What, Chris? That was clever. That was really clever. What? Mantis X, Chris. You see, I got the Glock 19 right here in the studio in case one of these communist savages come and try to kill me and Chris while we're doing the show. Guess what? If I have to use it, probably hit what I aim at because I practice. I practice. And no, I don't have tons of time between the kids and the practices and the sports practices and now band practices and then everything. I don't have time. I know time gets in the way and you don't want to spend the money on ammo and you don't want to spend the money on gas. I get it. I practice in the comfort of my home. My Mantis X attaches to my weapon. I practice in my living room or the dining room. That's where I practice. Practice with my sons. Feedback, drills. You'll actually see yourself getting better. They're tracking everything, letting you know. The Green Berets use it for a reason. It's what the professionals use. MantisX.com. You want to blow the gun owner away and your family at Christmas time? MantisX.com.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. I'll get to you rice people here in just a second, but we're gonna talk more, a little bit more, just briefly on this Brittany Griner stuff yesterday. You know, I went off on all this last night. We know that they could have gotten Paul Whelan out. They chose Brittany Griner because she's gay and she's black. And that's what we prioritize now here in the U.S. of gay. I talked about this last night. And I got a bunch of these emails. Jesse, I'm a gay Christian Republican who hates all the LGBTQ crap. And I got this one. Hey, Oracle, you probably won't read this on the air, but I hope you do. I'm a bisexual man, and I will be honest, there are a lot of us out here who hate what's going on. The original LGB movement had nothing to do with this crap that's going on now. Most don't like how it's been perverted. It's the radicals that have pushed things this far. It's always about the rights. It was always about rights. Now it's about indoctrination. How do regular gays, lesbians, bisexuals separate ourselves from the radicals? A lot of us are not leftists. We believe in the same ideals as other Americans. One, you don't need to, just because of your personal choices, you don't have some obligation to cover up or cover for or answer for people who've made similar choices to you and are now nutballs. I reject that. The same way I reject that when it comes to things like race and religion or political party, whatever the case may be. Hey, Chris, this Jewish guy did something terrible. Do you denounce it? What? Why would he have to denounce it? What does that make any sense? Hey, Jesse, this Republican did something terrible. Do you denounce it? Him doing something terrible doesn't create some obligation on my behalf to do it. If you're not some nutball out there trying to indoctrinate people and you just want to live your life the way you want to live it, you don't have to answer for the bad guys. Now, you can be as vocal as you want if this stuff is driving you crazy. Maybe you should be. If it's on your heart, maybe you should be vocal against it. This is crazy. This is not who we are. This isn't what we stand for. If you feel an obligation, if it creates some kind of fire in you, then you probably feel some sense of obligation. That's what it is. You probably should do something, speak out loudly about it. But don't think for a second, just because somebody who's made similar personal choices in their life, just because they're now a communist despicable nutball, don't think that that means you're one as well by association. I don't do guilt by association. I don't do it. Now, we can recognize patterns. I have no problem discussing patterns about things. But that doesn't mean everyone's guilty. These all-encompassing things are crazy. You see this a lot in America. You'll see a lot when you talk about black people. Here's what I'll see from both sides. You'll see if you have one of these people who thinks it's their job to, you know, be the defenders of black people, whether they're black, white, whatever the case may be. Black people would never do that. Or you'll see this the other way, and I don't like this either. Yeah, that's what black people, black culture is terrible. Black culture. Well, there's no black culture. There's no one black culture at all. What are you talking about? I mean, you get these kinds of nutballs.
So we now know that trauma, like, just makes it almost infinitely harder to learn when you're a child. And we also now know that systemic racism is essentially an adverse childhood experience, which means that children who are black and brown in our schools are expected to be excellent while suffering from complex PTSD.
Okay, I got it. But you'll see people either defend it or criticize it and just lumping every black person in there. I know tons of black people that aren't nutballs. Just now, you can say, if you want to be specific, you can say urban black culture is a disaster. And there's simply no question about that when you look at the drug use and the criminality and you look at the single parent homes. But I have black people all over my neighborhood. In fact, my next door neighbor right next door is black. They're not like that at all. That's not, well, everyone's, all the black people are like that. No, they're not. That's ridiculous. These all-encompassing statements of any kind do not work. They don't wash out. They don't. They simply do not. Look, I'll tell you this. There is black people in Houston are different than black people in Dallas. If you get to the South, they're different than they are on the West Coast. And there's not, but people make all-encompassing statements one way or the other, and they always sound ridiculous. I don't do guilt by association. If you're one of these people who's made different personal choices in your life when it comes to who you choose to love, that's your business. If you're not over there making it my business, then you don't have to feel guilt because someone else is. That's not on you. No way. All right. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this Brittany Griner thing because someone has a good question about this. Before we get to that, I want to get to this really quickly. If you are tired of the corporations, the companies in this country, making it your business, shoving all this cultural Marxism in your face day after day after day after day after day. I can't snap my fingers and make that problem go away. Neither can you. But we don't have to pay them for the privilege. We don't have to pay them to do it. Who's your cell phone provider? You have AT&T? T-Mobile? Do you have Verizon? If you're sending money to these companies every month, you're paying them to dump on your culture. You are funding the cultural destruction. Now, I'm trying to get better about that in my life. Every day, I'm trying to get better about where I spend, where I send my money. I am. I'm not perfect yet, and you probably aren't either. But we can get better, right? The cell phone is an easy one because we're talking 10 minutes on the phone, and you save a fortune. Keep your phone, keep your number. Same great 5G network as one of the big guys. Why wouldn't you? What's the reason you wouldn't? Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. That'll save you an additional 50% off your first month. #250, say Jesse Kelly, switch to Pure Talk, all right? All right. More Ask Dr. Jesse. Jesse, is Biden's trade for Brittany Griner, he called her Brittany Grinder. That's not nice. Is Biden's trade for Brittany Griner better or worse than Obama's trade for Bo Bergdahl? Who got the better deal? I wish you hadn't asked me that question because it just fills me with so much venom and rage once again over the Bo Bergdahl thing and now the Brittany Griner thing. We'll talk about that briefly and then Rice. Hang on.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions, too.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. All right, the fact is again.
the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, where I take my almost 3 years of community college credits and I break down all the problems in the world today. And you know what? It's time to let the bar eat. Oh, gosh, that makes me feel better. All right, the guy asked, what's a worse trade, Brittany Griner or Bo Bergdahl, that traitorous piece of trash, that deserter? You don't know who Bo Bergdahl is, Chris? Well, he's somebody who, frankly, should be executed for treason. I don't know what to say. He was in Afghanistan and would rather have been with the Taliban, the United States of America, so he just snuck off his post one night and went and joined the Taliban. They, quote, captured him, right? They had him as a prisoner, but he did it on purpose. And, of course, because Obama hates America, Obama found someone else who hates America and decided to trade terrorists to get Bo Bergdahl back into the fold of this country. Why would you do that? See, Chris is saying, why would you bring Brittany Griner back? Why would you bring Bo Bergdahl back? Why would you do that? Well, people will have a hard time accepting that the Democratic Party in the United States of America is not, it's not un-American. They're actively anti-American. They genuinely believe this country is a horrible place. Why do you think the entire party put together, you know how big a convention is when there's a big Republican convention or Democrat convention? I've been to one of these before. I went to the one in Tampa. And you cannot imagine the size and scale of these convention operations. Just the amount of planning and organizing and security and the amount of money it takes. They're huge operations. The Democratic Party put together one of these and not one single person chose to fly an American flag. They had to be shamed and embarrassed into flying an American flag at their convention. Why Brittany Griner? Because she hates America like Democrats do. Why Bo Bergdahl? Because he hates America like Democrats do. Why do you think they always cozy up to the people who hate us most, foreign actors who hate us most whenever they take power? You know that those guys, I'm sure you remember our brave men and women getting blown up all the time in Iraq. That was during all that insurgency stuff, all the IEDs. How many Americans right now, how many listening to the sound of my voice don't have legs or a leg or an eye or burns and things like that? A lot. Well, that took place after I left Iraq. I wasn't one of those brave souls that had to live through that. But you know why that thing took place? Why that happened? Because Iran trained those insurgents and all that stuff. That was Iranian training. Democrats, Obama and now Joe Biden, take office and immediately start working hand in hand with Iran. And people see this and they scream, why would they do that? Iran's America's enemy. They hate us. Well, yeah, so do Democrats. That's hard. That's a bitter pill for people to swallow. And it's really hard to explain that point to older Democrats. I mean, right now, I guarantee you there's some 60, 70-year-old Democrat listening to the Jesse Kelly Show and saying, that's not true. I don't. No, you don't understand. You don't hate America, but your party does now. JFK's gone. He's gone. He's long gone. The Democratic Party we have now in the United States of America is openly anti-American. Why do you think they have the border wide open? You understand that Democrats, it's not that they're not doing border security. They're doing things to intentionally open up the border and flood the country with poverty and crime from the third world. Why do you think they're doing that? They're trying to break the nation. The goal is breaking the nation. And that is, we talk about this a lot on the show, that's so hard to explain that concept to your relatively normal neighbor. Your neighbor named Norm. Normie Norm. Norm, he votes Republican. He agrees with you. Yeah, keep taxes low. But you explain to Norm that the people in the Democratic Party, the people who run the Democratic Party, are on an active mission to turn America to ash. And Norm rolls his eyes at you and tells you, oh, you're being extreme. Oh, turn off the radio. Oh, what are you talking about? And you're 100% right, and he's lost. It's hard to explain that to normal people. It's hard to explain that to older Democrats because it wasn't always that way. That's how it is now. Jesse, owing to your culinary expertise, much of which I agree with, I have issues with rice lovers. I ask, seriously, of course, to describe the taste of rice. I have received no answers in my life. Semper Fi. That's because rice is garbage. Now, this is when I say rice is garbage, this is what I'll get. Jesse, you've never had my home-cooked chicken fried rice. Now, I understand that if you add a bunch of delicious onions and eggs and some yummy shrimp or chicken or something like that, and then put a pound of butter and grease in there, that it's going to be delicious. That doesn't make rice delicious. That means whatever you added to rice is delicious. People do this all the time. Oh, I don't like Brussels sprouts. Oh, but you've never had my Brussels sprouts with bacon. Well, yeah, bacon's delicious. Brussels sprouts aren't delicious just because you added bacon to them. Rice is horrible. Why do you think they drop it to poor countries that are starving? They drop it by the bag. Oh, you're starving? These people will eat anything. Here, have some rice. That's what they do. There's a reason they do it, Chris. What? That's not offensive. It's fine. Dear symmetrical balding fart boy, I didn't fart on Tim Pool Show. By the way, people are now emailing in, people that listen to Tim Pool Show regularly, and they're telling me they're hearing that same sound on other episodes. I told you I thought it was a glass or something like that. There was no smell. So unless he had Eden Pure Thunderstorms in there, there was no fart. Jesse, our new HR communist scum with pronouns in her signature, asked me what my favorite band was, to which I enthusiastically replied, Delirious Consequences. She asked me what genre that was, and I said, anti-communist with their number one hit, Freedom Isn't Free. And if you haven't heard them, you need to wake up and grow up. My coworker, who also listens to the show, walked by and said, listen, thank you. We walked away laughing and busted into a rousing rendition of the Frito Bendito. My question is, does Delirious Consequences have any songs coming out, or has the amazing Jesse Kelly fan base created any for you? Keep fighting like hell against the communists, and please raise our spirits with a little Frito Bandito. Buenas tardes. I can say their names, he said. Nick and Bo. Nick and Bo, this is for you, fellas.
Ay, 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 ay. I am the Frito Bandito. Hey, I like Fritos corn chips. I love them, I do. I want Fritos corn chips. I'll get them from you. Ay, 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 ay. Oh, I am the Frito Bandito. Give me Fritos corn chips and I'll be your friend. The Frito Bandito, you must not offend. Munch, munch, munch a bunch of Fritos.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Chris, I've been thinking more and more about this charity idea you had about getting shot with a hero gun for charity. And I initially didn't like it because the hero gun is not, it's not a pleasant experience. Yes, it's non-lethal. You're not going to die, but you're not going to be doing very well. But the more and more I think about it, the more I think I would enjoy being the one to, what, Chris, hear me out. I think I would enjoy being the one to shoot you with it for charity, for a good cause. What, Chris? Oh, yeah, we would have to auction off the right to shoot you. Yeah, that's right. Dang it. Well, either way, Christmas season is coming. Get a hero gun for the friend, family member that you want to be protected. Please carry it on you too. Get a hero arrow if you want it a little smaller, a little more aerodynamic. It shoots the pepper gel instead of the pepper balls. But get both. I own both. I love having both. It gives me options. But get something that will stop a bad man from hurting you or your wife or your husband or your daughter or your son or your mother or your neighbor. Go to hero2020.com. Code Jesse gets you a special discount. Keep in mind, they sell practice cartridges there, and they're cheap. So get some practice cartridges with it so you can do a little bit more practice. You don't need a ton. It's not like a regular gun. But just make sure you know what it does and how it operates. Keep yourself safe. Hero2020.com. State restrictions may apply. People want to talk about my hearing. People want to talk about chili. People want to talk about, well, moving from Minnesota, and mac and cheese. All that after this.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Don't forget, we are live. You can email the show if you want. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. We still have more than an hour left. Don't worry. Don't worry. I'm right here with you. Jesse, I'm a 24-year-old from Connecticut, and I won a seat on my town's board of finance last year. I'm also the Republican Party chair for my town. Look at this stud. This year, I decided to run for state representative. My opponent ran unopposed last cycle and didn't want to see that happen again. From July to November, I knocked on about 3,500 doors. Every door I went to, people were struggling financially. Things needed to change. Sadly, I ended up losing my race, and our criminal governor, who ruled as a king during COVID, was reelected overwhelmingly. I need some advice. Do I take a chance and move to a red state while I can, or do I stay and fight for this area, seeing as how I have had some success locally? Keep up the great work. I never miss a show. His name is Aaron. Aaron, don't sell yourself short. And I say this to people a lot. And I'm not just talking about moving locations. I say this to people who are thinking about moving jobs. Maybe you have a terrible boyfriend or terrible girlfriend and they're worried about leaving them. You understand that success is transferable, right? You are 24 years old, hard enough working that you're knocking on doors. You've already gotten elected to the town board of finance. Why would you waste talent like that for an area that's lost when you can take that talent anywhere and you'll be successful? I have people email in about, you know, job. I hear this about jobs a lot too, because it is scary moving jobs. Lord knows I've done it enough. I know it is scary. Jesse, I'm a manager here. Jesse, I've been here for 10 years. I'm the vice president. I'm scared of it. Buddy, you're successful. People don't understand. Successful people, they don't oftentimes give themselves enough credit for being successful, and they don't think they're anything special. If you show up on time, you don't leave early, you don't office gossip, and when you are given a task by your boss, you don't return to him until the task is complete. Those are very simple things. Very simple things. You are in the top 10% of the workforce in the United States of America. You think you're normal. You're elite. That's transferable anywhere. If you're some hot politician like this, you're just out there killing it. Why would you waste it in Connecticut? Go take it to Tennessee. Take it to North Carolina, South Carolina. Take it to Wyoming, Idaho, Montana. Go west, young man, depending on which kind of weather you want. If you want horrible weather but great Mexican food, come to Texas. We're happy to have you here. Yeah, I don't want to waste you in Connecticut. Come on down to Texas and roast to death with the rest of us. It is December 9th. Hang on one second here. I'll do this while we're live on the show. What is the current temperature? It's December 9th. It's 80 degrees in Houston, Texas, 80. That's what it's like in December. Do you have any idea what it's like here in the summertime? You walk out of the house, you will get in a shower, and you'll walk out of the house to the end of the driveway to go get the mail. By the time you get back in, you need another shower down here. The weather, don't shake your head, Chris. Don't shake your head. A native Texan, you can't, no. You don't even... No, here's the thing. Don't call it Yankee blood, Chris. It's not Yankee blood. I've lived everywhere, pal. Everywhere. That's one. Two. When you defend the weather in this state, Chris, it just shows that you need to get out and travel a lot more. You realize that it shouldn't be 80 degrees on December 9th, right? You understand that there should actually be some snow on the ground. Maybe even see your breath every now and then. I promise you won't die if the temperature drops below 75. I swear you'll be able to make it. Do you know that? Like, I just got back. I had to spend a little bit of time, just a day in Virginia. And it occurred to me, because I lived in Virginia once for a year, it occurred to me, man, I miss seasons so much. It's so incredible. Did you know? I'm going to break this news to you, Chris. This is Journalist Jesse breaking news.
It's Journalist Jesse.
There's just no one better.
We love Jesse. He's the best.
Jesse, please kiss my baby.
Jesse, 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 Jesse.
Chris, did you know that there are actually four seasons? I'm not making this up. If you go to Virginia, you will experience four seasons. There's a summer, then there's a fall, and then there's a winter, and after that, there's a spring. It's wild. There are four seasons, and you know what? I'm getting off this now. Glorious Oracle. Firstly, props on the Tim Cast show appearance. Best Tim Cast guest in a long time, probably ever, since you're you. Question is, I live in Minnesota, which was fully taken over by the Democrats. Been talking with my wife for the past 2 years about moving to Florida. She's finally coming around, though for different reasons, weather. Unfortunately, her timing is terrible given the current housing market. What are your thoughts on the future economically and the feasibility of escapism this blue hell in the coming years? Keep it up. All right, okay, one, the housing market is definitely about to experience a significant downturn, and it's already in the works. But remember something. I am not a finance expert, but I've been telling you repeatedly, if you're going to sink money into something, sink money into things you can touch and feel, especially given these times. Gold, silver, land, and houses. I promised you before that I am on the search now for some kind of a real estate company that shares your values, that shares my values, so I can direct you in that direction. I haven't found one yet. That stuff has always made me nervous. That's why I won't do like crypto stuff or any of this. I won't do investing that you can't touch and feel. I won't tell you about it because if you ever email me and say, Jesse, we did what you told us and then we lost everything, I don't think I'd be able to go on. It would just devastate me. But if you buy a home, you're never going to lose everything. You may lose some money on the home. You're never going to lose everything. Gold, silver, you're never going to lose everything. Land, you're never going to lose everything. It's tangible. So that being said, let's have a talk about this because I've heard this a lot. Jesse, what about the housing market? And Jesse, what about the prices in Florida? Because so many people have moved to Florida, supply and demand being what it is, the prices are going up. Let's have a talk if maybe this is your situation. And then a lot more. Hang on.